Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, thank you very much for tuning in the Beacon Broadcast on this Monday, October 12. We're going to get right back into the middle of 1 Timothy 2:15, that interesting and puzzling text that says of women, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. However, before we continue, let me pause long enough to thank those of you whose financial gifts make our continuation of the Beacon Broadcast possible on this and other stations. You are a vital part of God's work in getting this ministry out to many, many radio hearers. Now, what is this verse all about? We dealt with it on the broadcast Friday, and we're going to continue. But I've told you that there are two feminine pronouns in the text. One is singular and the other is plural. The first one is she, and that no doubt refers to Eve. She will be saved in childbearing. Following up verse 11, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, that is Eve, being deceived, fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved. It follows in context naturally. So that is probably the best way to understand the singular feminine pronoun. The they, however, would be the daughters of Eve, that is, all women. We're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, so all women are daughters of Eve. All men are daughters of Eve, too. I mean, are all sons of Eve, for that matter. So, the woman in view, the first one is Eve, and the second reference to women is all women, all daughters of Eve. The salvation, however, that's involved here is a little more puzzling, and that's what we were talking about as we left the air Friday. She shall be saved, but the question is, saved from what? And the first one, of course, is to understand it in terms of the salvation of the soul, eternal salvation, what we normally talk of when we talk about salvation. Nevertheless, she will be saved, meaning Eve, in childbearing, if they continue in faith. And now it broadens out to include all the daughters of Eve, but it makes it clear that, of course, only those who come to the Messiah by faith. And the childbearing there, in this view, refers to the birth of the Messiah. A second possibility that we dealt with on the broadcast Friday is that she shall be saved from insignificance in society by her indispensable role in bearing children. And the unique sacrifice that women make in bringing children into this world and the unique honor that women receive because of it, as testified to by the annual observance of Mother's Day, which is a far greater holiday than Father's Day, because the woman's role is recognized to be the superior one in this matter of producing children. And so if her role seems to be insignificant in society because she's not allowed to have leadership in the church, which was the discussion that went before verse 15, nevertheless, she will not be insignificant because God has assigned to her this role of bringing children into the world, and that role is of such great significance that she could never be insignificant. And there are some other possibilities. So the question is this salvation that is being referred to here referring to eternal salvation, that is the salvation of the soul, or is it referring to temporal salvation, that is something that pertains to this life? And you will find Bible commentators divided on that question. In reference to eternal salvation, Marvin Vincent, the Greek scholar, says saved is used here in the ordinary New Testament sense. Eternal salvation, it refers it to the promise to Eve in Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelium that we looked at on Friday, and to the virgin birth, that the promised Messiah, the seed of the woman, the seed of Eve, turns out to be the son of the Virgin Mary. And so Eve's promise is fulfilled in Mary's child, and the salvation is the salvation of souls. But there are other Bible commentators who argue strongly that the salvation referred to here is not eternal salvation, but temporal salvation. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing. Temporal salvation. The salvation spoken of here is not salvation in the ordinary sense of the word, as when a sinner puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved from sin and becomes a child of God. So says Kenneth Wiest, another Greek scholar. And A.T. Robertson, another Greek scholar, takes the same position. So it ought to be clear that you can't solve that question by referring to the original Greek. It's good to know Greek. It's good to be able to study Greek. It's good to be able to at least know enough Greek to be able to use Greek reference materials so that you can ferret out the meaning of the Greek words. That's very helpful in studying the Bible. And frankly, you can do that with very little Greek. In fact, if you have a Vines expository dictionary of New Testament words, you can do that if you don't know one letter of Greek. There are some really wonderful resources that are available. However, you've got to understand, before you plunge into that, that though the Greek is helpful, and in some cases is extremely helpful in answering puzzling questions, there are a lot of cases in which the Greek doesn't help at all. Understanding the Greek doesn't give you any more clarity than studying it in English in some cases. In other cases, it is extremely helpful and sometimes even definitive. The Greek, properly understood, decides the issue, but not always. In fact, not even a lot of the time. It does that occasionally, in my experience. But more often than not, the Greek doesn't really solve the issue. And this is a good example of it. What kind of salvation are we talking about here? Eternal salvation or temporal salvation? When 1 Timothy 2:15 says, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing. What kind of salvation is that? One Greek scholar says, eternal salvation. Two other Greek scholars, recognized Greek scholars, say, temporal salvation. The word saved, sozo, is the common Greek word for eternal salvation, but it's also used for other types of salvation. It's used for the healing of the sick. That is, people being saved from sickness and from death. It's used that way in Mark 5:34. Or saved from drowning, as in a shipwreck in Acts 27:20. Or saved from the entanglement of false teaching, 1 Timothy 4:16. So the word itself can and is used both ways in the New Testament, sometimes of eternal salvation, sometimes of temporal salvation. So there's really no way to determine it by the Greek. Well, what about that pronouncement in Genesis 3:16 about the woman having pain in childbearing, Eve's curse? Does that have anything to do with this? Let's look back at that one. We looked at 3:15, the proto-evangelium, but in verse 16 of Genesis 3, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Sometimes called Eve's curse, which turns out to be the curse of all women who bear children. Pain in childbearing. Pain and sorrow in becoming a mother. Well, that certainly was not new. That wasn't new in Paul's day, when Paul is writing 1 Timothy chapter 2, it goes all the way back to the garden and the curse that God placed upon Eve because of sin. There's also in that text, as you heard it, a reference to submission to her husband, who is now no longer a sinless man, where his headship would never have been abused or misused or sinfully tainted in any way, it would have been easy to be the helper, the companion, and in that respect submitted to her husband in that regard. But now God places that requirement upon her in reference to a husband who's now a sinner, a fallen man. Submission in spite of his fallen sinfulness, the fact that Adam was changed from sinless man into a sinful man, didn't change Eve's requirement to continue to be submitted to him. But, and we're talking now about the viewpoint that the salvation in 1 Timothy 2:15 is temporal salvation, there is this rescue of Eve, which is the rescue of all women, that is accepting her lot, believingly and cheerfully, and applying herself to the role of motherhood to achieve victory over the curse. Patrick Fairbairn said, "Do we then say that the childbearing here spoken of has direct respect to the birth of Christ, through whom the work of salvation was really secured? We are certainly not inclined to fix the meaning down simply and exclusively to that." So Fairbairn, another excellent commentator, believes that the childbearing referred to in 1 Timothy 2:15 is greater than simply the birth of the Messiah, which of course would be the focus if we're talking about eternal salvation as opposed to temporal salvation. So there may be something to this idea that in childbearing, the woman shall be saved from insignificance in society, shall be saved from unending sorrow, because of course, there's sorrow in bringing a child into the world, but there's great joy afterwards. That this may help her be saved from male exploitation, at least to some extent. There does seem to be in most cases, and again, in the fallen sinful world, things are not ideal, but there does seem to be in most cases a greater honor when a wife bears children to her husband, even in those societies that are not Christian and don't have the high ideals that we have. This bearing of children does seem to have something to lift the woman to a higher level of value in society. Remember in the Bible how that barrenness for a woman in that Eastern Oriental context was a special burden and no doubt caused the woman to suffer more greatly at the hands of a sinful husband. But when she bore her husband children, she was given greater honor. There's all these thoughts that certainly are appropriate as we come to 1 Timothy 2:15. Nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. All of these are possibilities. As man finds fulfillment, we might say, in accepting his curse, for he was cursed as well, relating to his assigned role as the breadwinner and giving himself to toilsome labor, where he finds fulfillment and, in many cases, even prosperity. So, in like fashion, the woman finds her greatest fulfillment in life and her greatest influence in society by accepting her God-given role and making motherhood and the home a place of fulfillment in her life. There she finds self-fulfillment, reciprocal love, great influence in society, and many other things that would equate to this idea of temporal salvation in 1 Timothy 2:15. Well, we've gotten a little further in the text, and we'll come back to it, Lord willing, tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.